The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Right? I mean, he had given us a nice tool, and we used it and stewarded it the best we knew how. But this is the season for a new tool for a new purpose, right? Because there was no way we could, I mean, I don't think we would fit this section in the old building, right? But we do now because of his promise fulfilled. I mean, he said he was going to do this. He told us long ago, and he did. And now we celebrate this year because we're celebrating him. And you've been called here on purpose for a purpose. I don't believe it's just by chance that you're sitting here in this church today. I believe there's a mission that you're on with the giftings and callings. And don't ever take that for granted. There's a reason you're here. He has a purpose for you, and he's equipped you for that particular purpose. And as we come together in these hours, in these last days, where you see the different things happening in the world, it's so much more important that we're aware of his presence and his leading to take us in that purpose to where we need to go. Does that make sense? You know, when we say we're calling in the souls for God in this region, we really are. I mean, my job is to equip you, to equip you for what? For your ministry. You have a ministry. You have a gifting. You have a calling, right? And each and every day, I get to hear about the different things that you're doing out there with people each and every day, right? So praise God. I praise God for that. So I just wanted to kind of just bring a little attention. You know, I'm not big on stuff, right? But I'm big on praising God for what he's done. Amen? Amen. And it's not lost on me. He really spoke to me about King David. You know, remember, King David was to unite Israel and to expel the enemy, giants included. Well, you know, the Lord had spoke to me years ago that we, you know, the lighthouse was to be the point of the spear in this region, okay? We are to expel the enemy. That's what we're called to do here. I mean, you know, the other bodies have their function, and praise God, bless them, lead them in their function, but our body is to be the point of the spear. That's what we're equipped for. Amen? Because his word is the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. We wield it. That's the offensive tool he's given us. Amen? And we're going to abide by that word. The second thing was to unite Israel. David was, right? I believe we were brought here to unite the church, right? I don't have anything against any of the other bodies. Praise God. Bless them. I have no ill feelings. I'm happy with everybody. Praise God. I pray that they're in Christ and that each and every person is in position. That's what I pray for. Amen? And so as we study King David, just understand that he has a special place in my heart. That's why I pay attention, right? Well, last week we talked about him being out of position, right? In the spring, when the kings go to war, he wasn't at war. He was at home, and his eyes strayed to a place it shouldn't have been, and he did things he way shouldn't have done, right? You can read it in chapter 11. Well, now we're in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 1 before we begin. Father God, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for this time, Father. I thank you for blessing us and giving us everything we need. You have supplied our needs. You've supplied this building. You continue to supply what we need to do the work you've called us to do, Father. We thank you for the people here, Father. Thank you for equipping them, Father. Thank you for blessing them, giving them peace that surpasses understanding, giving them encouragement that they will not quit, that they will see every manifestation that you have for them. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. Verse 1. So the Lord... So the Lord, I'm getting there. So the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to tell David this story. Remember, David had just messed up real good, right? There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb he had bought. He raised that little lamb and it grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day a guest arrived at the home of the rich man, but instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. Okay. David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. David is king, right? That's wrong. That's bad. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdom of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done the horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. You know, it's interesting how the Lord sent Nathan to do this. He didn't send him to say, David, this is what you did. You messed up. You in trouble. No. He sent Nathan with a story to tell. You know, God doesn't just do things by chance. Remember, never forget, David was a man after God's own heart, but David was a man, imperfect. All right? And that sin nature, he followed the sin. Also remember, King David, the only person in the Old Testament that I see, the Spirit of God was on him. Remember, on him, never left him, on him. Do you know why the Holy Spirit could not be in him? You know why? Sin. Why can the Holy Spirit be inside of us? Jesus. Amen, right? That's the difference. Jesus hadn't come yet. So the Holy Spirit could only be on, present, never leaving. Do you think the Holy Spirit was telling David things? Absolutely, God was telling David things. He wasn't listening. How many times has the Holy Spirit been telling me things inside of me? And Monty wasn't listening. I'm not going to tell you how many times. I can't count that high. But guess what? Praise God, we do have him convicting us, telling me, hey, you're out of position. Get in position. Get in position. In Numbers 32, 23, what the scripture says is your sins will find you out. Nothing misses, God doesn't miss, and nothing escapes his eyes. Okay? We just always have to understand that. All right. And to that vein, Luke 8, 16 through 18, no one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. For all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. Verse 18, so pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. That's Jesus talking. That word listen is to learn. In the Greek, it means more than just hear it. It's listen. It gets inside of you. You learn something from it. You have understanding. And so that's why we study the scriptures. We study even the mistakes of King David, because I want to understand when the Holy Spirit says something, I need to respond, because when I step out of that obedience lane, I step out of my lane, I'm stepping out from under protection. The enemy is there to do things. There's a consequence, right? And we're going to talk more. Jim did a good job. Casey even stole one of my verses I was going to use. I'm still using it. Don't worry. All right. Let's get back to King David. From this time on, here's some consequences. Your family will live by the sword because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Because of what you have done, I will cause your household to rebel against you. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did it in secret, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. Now, this happens with David's son, Absalom. I'm not going to read the whole story, but that happens. There was a consequence to that sin, okay? See, the whole thing is, and Jim and Misty did a good job. When I tell, probably Luke was the worst. The first one's always the worst. Don't touch the plant. Don't do that. That little turkey would get over there, and then pretty soon, bah, he's throwing it up because he put it in his mouth, little turd. There was a consequence, right? There was. I mean, of course, I got after him too, but there was a consequence to that, right? Guys, when I tell you the stove's hot, and you go grab it, and it burns you, did Daddy burn Luke? No. There was a consequence. Guys, there is consequence to sin. Is there forgiveness? Praise God. Is there mercy? Praise God. Is God doing it to us? No. Is God going to send anyone to hell? No. They're going to choose to go because they don't choose him. We don't choose Jesus. There is a heaven, there's a hell. There's only one way to heaven, through Jesus. Okay, time for the ABCs. A, we have to admit and acknowledge, hey, I've sinned, I need a Savior. B, we believe Jesus is that Savior. His son's sin, or Jesus' blood covers my sin, right? And C, I confess that with my mouth. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that he rose from the dead, I will be saved. There's the ABCs. You got the ABCs? Guess what? We're in heaven. Praise God. We're not separated from God. We chose him, and we get to go to heaven. We get to be with him forever. When people deny him, they choose to go to hell. Oh, they won't say it that way, but it's the truth. I'm not off course, but there's a pause for a cause. Then David, I like this. Then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Well, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Nathan replied, yes. Listen to this. But the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. Amen. You see, don't you think David knew? Come on, he knew. He knew. It was just the moment of, let's acknowledge that I know, right? He knew. Nevertheless, because you have shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord by doing this, your child will die. Yeah. You see, we are in a fallen world. There's an enemy in the world. When I step out of line, okay? See, she'll suffer for my consequences too. My wife. Really. And she has. Lord, forgive me. Right? Other people suffer when I am disobedient. Even as y'all's pastor, I pay close attention. I really do. Because I know y'all will suffer for me too. I know that. So I don't chew somebody out when I want to. Because I'm like, oh, I can't, my flesh, I got to crucify my flesh. Because I represent him, I represent y'all. I take that seriously. And I don't mean that in a worldly, arrogant way. I mean that in a, Lord, I'm serving you. And they know you're the pastor. So you can't just, even if they deserve it, Monty, you got to breathe deep. Okay. How do I handle this, Lord? Because you have them in your mind right now, or else I wouldn't be here. I'm here for a reason, right? And I don't want a consequence of me not being spirit-led, but being flesh-led to affect them. Help me, Lord. Because Ralphie Joe needs some chewing sometimes. You know? That's not my job. My job is to do what God says and be in position. Galatians 6, 7 through 10, this will settle it. This is going to settle, in case was on it. This is going to settle that whole, you know, God, you know, disciplining us. There's punishment, there's discipline. See, there's a whole, it's a different way. And remember, his ways are higher than our ways. This is what's going to settle it. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death. from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we will reap the harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Praise God. Verse 10, therefore, because of all this, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Listen to this, especially to those in the family of faith. Whoo. Guys, as much as we want to help the lost, and we do, we have a more responsibility to each other. Churches miss that. I've seen people be nicer to the homeless guy than they are to the guy sitting next to him in the church. I've seen that a lot. And Lord, forgive us. That's not so. That's not supposed to be. We're supposed to be good to each other. And guess what? In this church, we are. Amen. I believe that. I was talking to somebody the other day. This is the lovingest church I've ever been a part of. And it's because of y'all. Each and every one of you called here on purpose. It's because of you and because of the Holy Spirit inside of you. So I just want to give you that. Okay. Verse 15 with Samuel. After Nathan returned to his home, the Lord sent a deadly illness to the child of David and Uriah's wife. David begged God to spare the child. He went without food and lay all night on the bare ground. The elders of his household pleaded with him to get up and eat with him, but he refused. Then on the seventh day, the child died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He wouldn't listen to reason while the child was ill, they said. What drastic thing will he do when we tell him the child's dead? When David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. Is the child dead, he asked. Yes, they replied, he's dead. Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went to the tabernacle and he worshiped the Lord. After that, he returned to the palace and was served food and he ate. Verse 21, his advisors were amazed. We don't understand you, they told him. While the child was still living, you wept and refused to eat. But now that the child's dead, you have stopped your mourning and are eating again. David replied, I fasted and I wept while the child was alive, for I said, perhaps the Lord will be gracious to me and let the child live. Why should I fast when he's dead? Can I bring him back again? I will go to him one day, but he cannot return to me. Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. And he slept with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And David named him Solomon. And the Lord loved the child. Okay. Guys, the first thing we have to understand is God's word is always true. And he doesn't change. The second thing we have to understand is his ways are higher than ours. So many times people try to apply our natural way of thinking to God. We can't do that. You're going to bump up against the wall every time. What we trust is he knows the best way. I can look back at my life and just, I could tell you story after story after story where I had it all figured out and it was a mess. And when I quit figuring and started following, he thought of things I never would have dreamt of, right? So don't get hung up with the legalistic mind of it's always this and it's always that. No, it's always God. It's always him. It's always his ways are higher than my ways. It's always I have faith in him that he's a good God that loves me, that cares for me. And there's a consequence when I step outside of his protection of obedience, right? There's a consequence when I let the sin run wild, right? I crucify it. I follow God's word. I apply it. I listen to the leading of the Spirit to convict me when I'm off track. I'm not moved by guilt. I'm moved by love and obedience. Amen? Right? I'm not moved by fear. I'm moved by faith. Amen? That's what we can get out of this, guys. Because you're right. It's 2 Corinthians 2:11. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And that does, that Greek word, akouyou or whatever, it means thoughts. He's pushing thoughts into your mind. I had somebody come to me, and they were struggling, but boy, they didn't want to hear the truth at all. I mean, they wanted to basically blame God for everything that was going on. And I'm careful, because I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, what are we doing here? But basically, It was an opportunity to sow seed, and I did. But I had to be cautious. Why? He didn't want to hear at all. In fact, he just wanted to blame God. Then he wanted to question God. Okay, you can. That's right. But when you question him, you better be ready to accept the answer he gives you. Because he's the creator of the universe. His ways are always higher than mine. And he has a good plan for you if you'll submit to that good plan. It's always a hard attitude with God, guys. It is. And it was always my pride that got me in trouble. It was, where I thought I knew the right thing. I was mad because it didn't go the way I thought. It was always self, 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 right? What did we say in the marriage class? You better not be selfish. Guys, that's true of every relationship. When I put myself before God and I'm my own idol, you can go back to the garden. That's what got him in trouble. Amen? Guys, as we submit to him and we understand that we have his spirit inside of us to lead us through these waters. And guys, in this world, it's a crazy world out there, right? It really is. And there are things happening now that I scratch my head and say, they're calling evil good. And good, they're calling evil. I think I've heard that somewhere. Yeah. In the end times, right? It says in Timothy, they will call evil good and good evil. But we're not ignorant. We're not ignorant of the evil things that Satan's planning. We're not ignorant. And we're spirit-led. We have the spirit of truth residing inside of us. And what does he do? Lead us into all truth. But remember, man, this is such a good teaching that God gave to me. You know, we all want to put that quote out there, the truth will set you free. Truth will set you free. The truth doesn't set anybody free. It's the truth you know that sets you free. I mean, there's truth out there. There was truth for this person I was talking to, but they didn't want to know it. So guess what? They're not free. They won't be free. I mean, and that's not, God isn't punishing them. He's choosing to stay in bondage. That's just the truth. Have I been there? Yes. Do I have compassion for him? Yes. Am I going to pray for him? Absolutely. But can I make him know the truth? No. Pastor Bonnie can't do that. Pastor Monty can't take care of anything out there. You know what Pastor Monty's supposed to do? Equip the saints for the work of the ministry for the edifying the body of Christ. That's what I'm supposed to do. Equip you to go do what you're called to do. Encourage you. Love you. Right? You know what else I'm supposed to do? Whatever God tells me to do. I mean, really, whatever he tells you. And I'm no better than you. But we're in this together. As a family, understanding that sin nature's there. It's in every single one of us, guys. Hang around with a little two-year-old. It's in them, too. Just for a few minutes, I hang around them. God bless all our little two-year-olds. But understand, guys, that sin nature's there. It's okay. It's okay that it's there. Crucify it. Daily. Daily. And what does that mean? Subdue it. Take authority over it because you have the authority because the Holy Spirit residing inside of us, right? His Spirit seals us unto the day of redemption. He is inside of us, right? And it's my mind, will, and emotions that has to come into congruency with that Spirit-led walk that we're supposed to have. And it's my flesh that's going to rise up when Ralphie Joe tells me things that I didn't want to hear that is absolutely crazy and stupid. And then he's mad about it because I'm not listening. And then he wants to get up in my face. And Mo, they have poked me in the chest sometimes. Thank you, Jesus. Because all that old pride stuff comes up. 20 years ago, you wouldn't have let that happen. No, I wouldn't have. I'd have been in jail with the rest of them. But as I've grown, I've crucified the flesh. I had to, because I had to grow up into what he was teaching me. I mean, when I was stupid, he took care of me. There was consequences of my sin, but I was stupid, and he knew it. He knew it. But he was growing me up. He was teaching me. And you know what? God was using all the stupidity, Lord forgive me, because when someone comes and talks to me now, it's okay. I understand. It's okay. I've been there. It's okay to be there. Let's not stay there. Amen? He wants to lead us to that abundant life he has for each every one of us. But he knows there's only one way, and he loves us enough to show us the way. Right? He loves us enough. He loved King David enough to show him the way. And David loved him enough. See, that's the key, guys. He really did love the Lord. He really did. Did he mess up? Yeah. Did he pay for those sins? Yeah. Did he ever blame God? No. If you look in there, he never blamed God. He understood that God was always right, no matter what. And he always followed that line of thinking. Now, he got off track just like the rest of us, but he never blamed God for it. You see, God wants what's best for us. He does. And he understands that there's consequences when we follow the flesh. That's why he gave us his spirit to convict us before we got all tied up over here, right? So if you're struggling with something, don't let guilt move you. Let the love of the Lord move you. Let his word move you. Let that peace come over you that, you know what, Lord, forgive me for that. Forgive me. And guess what? He does. He's ready to. He wants you to be in that place where you ask that forgiveness, he gives it, and now you're right back in line. Okay, let's go now from right here, wherever you're at. And I don't care what you've ever done. Doesn't make any difference. Today is a brand new day. Brand new. His mercy is new. Today, to use you in the fullness of your calling. Today. Amen. Today. Amen. Today. Don't take that for granted, guys, because he wants to use you. He wants to use us. I thank God for each and every one of you that are here today. You're supposed to be here, and I'm so glad you are. It touches me because I know he has a plan, and it's a good plan. And it's to reach some people that don't know him, right? Man, guys, this place can look so much different. This whole region's going to look different. As this world goes this way, we're going to go this way. Because let me say something, where does the light shine brightest? When it's dark. So let's shine. Come on. Let's shine. Man. It's coming, guys. It's coming. We're just starting. We are just starting. Scratching the surface on what God has for each and every one of you. And you know what he's going to do? As he blesses you, you're going to bless others. Man, that's good. Let's say our scripture confessions together, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Red Tone. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseredtone.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseredtone. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Red Tone, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseredtone.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you, oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are my life.
sure.